I would like to read a verse of scripture, and then you can be seated if you'd like after I read it. In Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You can be seated, and thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here tonight. I'm at a kind of at a point in my personal life to where I've grown weary, not because of my age or because of any health malady that I may have or may not have. I've grown weary of losing battles at the altar. I've grown weary of preaching this beautiful, wonderful God and salvation, only to see that seemingly it doesn't work anymore. And I know that's not the case. These are indeed the hardest times of our lives. We have reached a point in our human history that we are actually the people that are witnessing the end. There is an end. It's not going to continue on forever. It can't. We've made ourselves believe that it'll fix itself. It always does. That's what people say. Well, we've been through this before. No, we haven't. We've never been through this before. I haven't. So something has to happen. I remember the 9/11 thing. I remember the morning. I don't know what I'd been doing, but for some reason, it was like 8 o'clock, and my wife was in the living room, and she came in there and she got me and she said, one of the kids had called her or something, said, there's something on the news that's, you may want to get up. That's what she said to me. She said, you may want to get up. And so I did get up, and I was trying to find out what was going on. And, you know, you're calling people and asking questions, and I'm sure many of you remember that, only to find out that for the first time in America's history, an act of war had been brought within our borders. That had never happened before. And, of course, it worsened throughout the day. 9/11 became a blotch in everything that we've ever believed in. And it's changed the course of America. In the weeks that followed 9/11, it was a time of patriotism. It was a time of worship. People were seeking God that never sought God. churches were just bursting. The Christian movement had come alive. And it looked as if this tragedy had really done something to America. And indeed, it did do something to America. But something that I've learned in my short stay on the planet is that when we have a situation like that, if we don't take care of things like we're supposed to, or if we try to put a Band-Aid on something that requires far more than a Band-Aid, we get pacified. And when it comes the next time, it's worse because of the way we treated it the last time. We thought that after 9/11 that everything in America was, we were coming together. We were united. In the midst of all of that, we had no earthly idea that Congress, which all of the conservatives, so to speak, controlled Congress and the Senate, and that things were going to really be different. But instead, they passed laws that would hurt the country. In the midst of this tragedy, those that we look to lead us led us in the wrong direction. They passed the Patriot Act, which is an infringement upon all of American liberties that never should have been passed. They passed banking laws and savings and loans, and banks were given more power than they'd ever had in our history. And it didn't look so bad at the time, but now in retrospect, we look back and we see that the chokehold that it's created in America, this is not political tonight, it's spiritual. And I really feel like in my heart that tonight something's going to begin right here at Apostolic Faith Church. That is the beginning of maybe the greatest thing in our lifetime, right here. Before I ever knew that I was coming here, I saw this service in my own mind. Before you ever asked me to come, I saw this maybe as a starting place. My good friend Dylan Eastwood is with me tonight, a minister from Texas. Very, very close friend whom I have a lot of confidence in. And he prayed out in the hall. We got here, we weren't late for church, but we were standing in the back. And he put his arm around me and he prayed a prayer. And what he prayed was exactly what we need. And he prayed that it would start here tonight. He perhaps wasn't praying for the same reason that you might think, but the scripture that I read in your presence is, of course, familiar, and they've made songs about it. And some of those powerful songs that they sang have to do with that scripture. Bless the Lord, O my soul. After 9/11, all the football games, all the baseball games, all of the sporting events, they took on a new face. They would bring in special singers, and still do. At the Republican National Convention just a few weeks ago, they had this little 6 or 7 year old girl that sang God Bless America. She had the voice of a 25 year old woman. It was powerful. But we've done that in every phase. We've got every game that's played now, they have somebody. They bring in soldiers, they bring in firemen, they bring in people that have never been in front of an audience to sing, God bless America. And people get into it. You know, they'll be standing there jumping up and down because they're singing, God bless America, and they've got a beer in their hand. But that song is igniting something, and they want to hear it. And so it's become, the song is greater and more popular than it's ever been at any time in our history. God bless America.
God bless America. Presidents end speeches by saying, God bless America. People running for office give their speeches at the debates, God bless America. And to the point, if I could just be myself, which I don't know how to be anybody else, so I guess I will. To the point that, I hope you won't judge me too harshly, I'm tired of hearing that. I'm tired of seeing little girls sing, God bless America. I'm tired of us exploiting God by bringing in a harmless child, an innocent child, to try and sing and stir up an atmosphere or a mindset in us that we can't do ourselves. God bless America. I ask you tonight, why should God bless America? Why should He bless us? What did we do to deserve God's blessings? What have we done as a nation, but not just as a nation, as a church? But when we get in trouble, God bless America. I learned out here in the parking lot just a few minutes ago that my son has stage 4 cancer. And that it's in the place that he had surgery, so it can't be treated again. And, you know, I know there are a lot of people that have worse problems than that, but I want God to heal my son. I don't want to be selfish. I know that other people deserve it probably more. But like everybody else, I don't want to give him up. I want God to bless him. But we've taken God for granted. We have, Brother Schumacher. We've taken him for granted. We think that because we sing a song and sing it beautifully, we bring in the best singer. These old country and western singers that are doing drugs on Friday night and they're singing God Bless America on Saturday. And these rock and roll singers that are singing and they're putting all of this stuff in it when they sing it to where they make a 4-letter word have 8 syllables and drag it out. Yeah. God bless America. What are we thinking? Do we think that God is some kind of a Victorian doll that we can pull a string in its back and it's going to do what we want it to do? There are more scriptures that talk about us blessing God than there are God blessing us. And I'm going to tell you, maybe you don't believe this. If not, I'm sorry, we'll agree to disagree. I think that the blessings of God for us are predicated upon our blessings to God. I'd like to ask you, when was the last time that you blessed God? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. God said, if you bless me, you want healing, I'll give you healing. You bless me, you want to be delivered from your iniquities, then bless me and I'll do that. I'm tired of praying for people that have cancer only to hear that they died a few weeks later. I hate to see the anguish on their face when they've received that message. You're at stage 4. That means, you know, kind of, and I hear people say, well, we're just going to make them comfortable and all that. I'm tired of those kind of messages. Why does it have to be like that? Here we are, supposedly, the remnant, the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the body of Jesus Christ, the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that were promised were not promised through the heathen. They weren't promised through the Pharisees or the Sadducees. They were promised through the people from every walk of life that had been born again of the water and of the Spirit, that had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoken other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. That's who that was promised to. These signs shall follow them that believe. Where are they? Where are they? Why have miraculous healings became the exception instead of the rule? Why do we have to choose the alternative? Well, God didn't choose to heal me. I guess it wasn't his will. Well, if it's not his will, why did they write that? Why did God write that? It is God's will to heal you. God doesn't want us to be sick. He doesn't want us to suffer with cancer. He doesn't want to have to watch a husband look at his wife with fear in her eyes, wondering what's going to happen to her family when she's gone. Do you think that's what God wants? Your pastor told me just the other day, we were talking about my son, and he's my friend. He said to me, Brother East, God don't tease us. This is not a game with God. God doesn't do things halfway. He doesn't tease you to lure you out so he can give you failure or disappointment. He's not that kind of a God. God wants you to have things. God wants you to be. You know how bad God wants you to be healed? You know how bad God wants you to prosper? I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I am a prosperity preacher. I just don't preach prosperity based on what's in your bank account. I don't preach prosperity based on the car you drive or the home you live in. I believe that God wants us to prosper just like our soul prospers. And the prosperity that you're going to get in the world is going to be based on the prosperity of your soul. As the old timers used to say, how is it with your soul? I can remember them old people in the church. We used to, when we would go to church when I was a kid, Mama would take me and scare me half to death. Especially them old women. I'm sorry, I don't mean no harm. Because they went around, they looked like eagles going around, had their brows puckered, and they're walking. Everybody they see, they didn't recognize, they'd say, have you received the Spirit? It was terrifying. Have you received the Spirit? And we turned. Now we come into the 21st century. We have people that come for prayer and nothing happens. I'm not saying it's here, or I'm not trying to localize the things I'm saying. It's everywhere. I know churches that don't even like praying for the sick no more. I actually had a pastor told me, what's the point? What's the point? And I watched this little girl sing that. I listened to her sing that. I had the clip so I could pause it, do whatever I want on my computer, but this little girl can sing. But are we to think that that's what's going to move the hand of God? The way we sing a song? Do you know what it means to bless? Bless actually means it came from the original Hebrew word that it actually meant to kneel down, to salute, to lift up. That's what bless meant. And it said we were to do that to God. Kneel down before him. Lift him up and let him know how much we love him. Show him what we think of him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You can't bless God because you paid your tithe. You can't bless God with a big check. Those are not the things that bless God. I'll tell you what does bless God. Is when you're on your face, when you're standing down here, and some of these ladies have kicked their shoes off, and the tears are streaming down their face, and some of these men are sitting there waving their arms. They don't care who's looking at them. They don't care what anybody thinks of them. What are they doing? They are blessing the Lord. Oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless your holy name. Brother, we come to church for one purpose. You're not here, so just the fellowship comes with it. Yeah, that's good. And all of those things are wonderful, but your entire purpose for being here tonight is God wanted you here so you could bless him. Bless him. You can't buy him a new car. You can't build him a new house. That's not going to bless him. You can't take him to Six Flags. That's not going to bless him. You want to bless God? You bless him when you worship him. You know what a blessing is? A blessing is happiness and it's joy. And we're saying, God, give us a blessing. We're asking God not to give us the happiness and the joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. You want to know why we're so weak? Because we've lost that joy. And when we get that joy back, the joy of the Lord is my strength, then we get strong again. We get it through blessing. We want blessing, but we want the wrong kind. All of our blessings are carnal blessings. Oh, I need a blessing tonight. What kind? Financial blessing. Dear God, I'm tired of hearing that. I'm tired of hearing that. We need financial blessing tonight. Well, I went and sought. I'm looking for this, and we're trying to buy this new home, and we need a blessing from God. What happened to praying for the will of God? Just praying for the will of God. I just want your will, God. I don't want nothing else. Because if I'm in your will, it doesn't matter. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You want to live forever? How do I live forever? Do the will of God. God wants to be blessed here tonight. I want to be blessed here tonight. But I want to be blessed in the biblical manner. How do I know where I can get these blessings at? If that screen were down, I would have them put the 5th chapter of Matthew up there so you could read what's called the Beatitudes. You ever read the Beatitudes? Everything that they talked about in Psalms 103, God's describing it again in the Beatitudes. It's Jesus speaking. He says, hey, blessed. Blessed, what do you mean? Oh, salute. Happiness, joy. These people are going to get that not from something they gave, not from something they did. They're going to get that by what they are. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. You want blessing from God? Then find out what you need to do to obtain those blessings. Our healing is incorporated in that blessing. God wants to heal us. Some of you that are here tonight, you need healing. Some of you have got serious health issues. That shouldn't be any big deal for the church, should it be? I wouldn't think so. It should be nothing for God to do the things that he needs to do here tonight. Do you know that the word that was used for blessing was also used for cursing? Same word. A blessing can sometimes just as easily be a curse, especially if we pray for the wrong thing. He said, I set before you both blessing and curse. Blessing and curse, they're neighbors. And you get to decide which one you want. And sometimes we pray for a blessing that we think we're praying for, and we're actually praying for a curse. I don't mean to be redundant. That means to repeat myself, repetitious, but I do think I should say this. I've said it in this church before about what the word mortgage means. Some of you remember me telling you what mortgage means. Mortgage, it's two words, the French and the Italian, I believe. I don't remember which exactly what it means. Death grip. So we pray so hard to get, we even fast. I know people that even fast. God, let them approve me. Let them approve me. I got my fingers crossed, my toes, my legs, everything's crossed. God, I need you to bless me with this house. Bless me with this house. Some men pray, God, I love this woman. Bless me with this woman. And then when they get her, kind of like the old Buck Owens song from back in the early 60s, late 50s. Looks like I got a tiger by the tail. We pray for something that we don't need. We get it because we called it a blessing. And then we wonder how that blessing became a curse. I'm not talking about the woman. You understand the logic there? We want something so bad, we go after it with everything we've got. I can tell you that if we went after God with the same zeal and the same fervor that we go after some of the things in the world, we'd never have to take another pill in our life. We'd never make another doctor visit in our life. We'd never be discouraged another day in our life. The power of God would rule and reign in us unbelievably in unbelievable proportions. If we gave the same attention to the kingdom of God that we give to a lot of other things. It's hot in here, isn't it? And funeral homes used to bring us fans. I always appreciated that. Old funeral home fans, you're sitting there fanning yourself in a church trying, and you got a funeral home about dead people on that fan. But it was the only place we got free fans. I don't know why it was that funeral homes, only people ever gave away fans. If I can get you tonight just to do the will of God, we will solve a host of problems right here tonight. I need, personally, I need God to touch me tonight. I mean that, not just give me money, or I don't mean any of that. I'm not wanting money. I want God to touch me tonight. I've got some health issues. And I know that God is not only able to do it, He can do it exceedingly abundantly and above anything that I'm capable of thinking of or asking Him. He can go beyond what I ask for and take care of some other situations that I wasn't asking for, simply because He is able to do that. But sometimes it's not so much that we're praying the wrong prayers. It's just that God wants to see what's going on inside of us, because that's where He looks. We're asking God to do things He cannot do. We're saying, God bless America. And God's saying, I would love to bless America, but I can't, because America is not in a position to be blessed. You're asking me to do what I wrote in my holy word that I magnified above my name. You're asking me to bestow upon you those blessings. And you think because you got a little girl singing the song that it'll get the job done. That won't work. I think that tonight, This may be a landmark right here tonight. What better place to start than in your church? Right here. That we start something that would spread somewhere else. I probably have said this before, and I said it this morning, but I remember years ago, I was sitting in the church, and I mean many years ago, Pastor David Bernard was up at the front, and I looked, and all across the front of the church, I had a vision. And when I looked, I thought, what is that? And all I could see was beautiful gifts, packages, gift wrap with big bows. And I mean, like nothing I'd ever seen. They were stacked up so high, just all kinds of hundreds of gifts all the way across the front of the church. And I thought, Lord, what does this mean? And God said, these are the gifts that people, they followed my word when I said if there was aught against my brother, if there was a problem with my brother, that I was to take my gift to the altar and then go and make things right with my brother and then come back and redeem the gift. And I you know, in this vision, I said, yes, and, you know, you ever say, and? And God said, those are all the gifts that have been left, but they never came back to redeem them, because they never took care of the business of making things right. And now their gifts have become a stumbling block to my people. I want the blessings of God, but I can tell you with a straight face, I want to get them the right way. I'm not going to try to pull God's strings. Well, God, you said in your word. We like to say that when we pray. You said in your word. He said a lot of things in His word. It's funny, we never bring up when we're praying to God, wanting Him to do something. We don't ever bring up and say, God, I know this isn't going to happen because I've not done anything you asked me. So I don't even know why I'm praying this prayer, God, but it sounded good. And so I thought I would remind you of your word that you were going to bless me and take care of me. When we know that God, we've handicapped Him. As they used to, with horses, you hamstrung them. They look the same at a distance, but in reality, they can't do anything because that hamstring is where all their strength is, and they can't do nothing. We've hamstrung God as a nation, as a church. And so, in order to make up for our inadequacies, we have went back to Egypt and did our shopping there, the one place God told us not to go. We've gone back there because we needed help. And we have fallen right in line with everybody else. And we're watching the demise. We're watching it happen. I can tell you that God does not want, brother, I'm sorry, but I feel something here tonight. God does not want you on prescription drugs. He doesn't want you addicted to a painkiller. God doesn't want that. God doesn't want you to have to take a drug to get up and a drug to get down. Do you think God is that small? And I'm tired of hearing about cancer. And it's everywhere. It's the young, it's the old, it's the rich, it's the poor, the big, the small, black, the white. Cancer. There's not a church I go to where there's not several prayer requests. Pray for so and so. They just found out. They've got this, they've got that. Ladies and gentlemen, you are in the house of God tonight. And this God has not changed. In the several thousand years of our history, not one time has he changed. Not one time has he failed. Not one time has he ever went back on his word. He's never been behind times. He's never been behind the eight ball. He's not in the losing corner. He is just the same today as he was yesterday when he parted those waters for the Israelites to cross over at the Red Sea and at the Jordan River. Same God. He's still doing well. He's still waiting on us. But he did tell them some time, I can't bless you till you get that junk out of your camp. That's what happened at Ai. Joshua got very frustrated, fell down on his face and started to pray, and God said, get up, don't pray to me. You go get the unclean thing and then I'll move. We need clear voices. We don't need no more monkey shine. We need clear voices. This is our day. And God is speaking to my heart. And I know he's speaking to yours. And I hope he's speaking to many of you, yours, and other of you men that are involved in the ministry of this church. I hope that he's speaking to your heart. It's time for us, the church of Jesus Christ, to lift up our voices like a trumpet and cry loud and spare not. We've got to quit worrying and being so concerned about hurting somebody's feelings or getting somebody's feathers up or getting a dander up and they're going to get mad. Well, they may not come to church. They may not pay. Well, so then they don't do it. That doesn't change God's word. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is God not able to take care of us? Can God not work a miracle? Why are we putting our trust in the world? Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but he said, we're going to trust in the Lord. Cursed is the man, Jeremiah 17. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, his power. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the water. He will not be moved. That word blessing means happiness and joy. When you look at the Beatitudes of blessed be, God is trying to tell us these blessings, this is how you get them. You have to change who you are. You don't have to be in the right place at the right time or have a special speaker that specializes in this, specializes in that. No, God can move into your life and heal you of a dread disease while you're driving down the road, while you're sitting in your house, while you're having a donut. God can heal you because he's God. It depends on where you're at, what you do with yourself. I want to repeat this story. I had a situation happen to me just recently. I was, after I left you people a few weeks ago, I went home. My house had flooded. They had to tear all the floor up in the kitchen, the dining room. They had to tear everything up. They had to tear the cabinets out, everything, all the way down to the dirt. I could actually say that we were living on a dirt floor. And so for weeks, I went over to Lowe's. I'm sure everybody knows what Lowe's is. I went to Lowe's and I went in there and I was getting ready to check out and there was a little woman. I don't know how to describe her really. I don't want anybody to think that I'm in any way, you know, minimizing something like this, but she was a victim of birth defects. She had to have been in her 30s. She could not have weighed more than 50 pounds, maybe 60. She was very small. She was on one of those motorized wheelchairs that had all the gadgets on them and so on and so forth. Her arms, her little arms were about that long. And they had grown, and when it came to her wrist, they just hung there like claws. She couldn't use them. But she wanted to have a job, and Lowe's hired her. And she had learned how to take that knuckle, Courtney, and hit those keys. That's how she'd... And she was an upbeat little lady. But it was a test to go through her line. Because when you'd go through her line, she'd ask you, would you hold that up so I can... Because she had that scanner. Somehow she operated that scanner. She said, so I can see it. So if you went through her line, you had to help her. And I got her two or three times, different times. Well, I'm saying this for the second time. I believe in transparency, even if it's me that has to do it. And I was in Lowe's. I had a dirt floor. I couldn't get nobody to help me. I couldn't get nobody to come and work. We'd been living in our bedroom, just our bedroom, with a microwave for a couple of weeks or so. We didn't have no running water in the other part of the house. We had, in our bathroom, we had water. And so we'd set up a little bowl there and filled it full of water. We had to heat the water up, and we had a microwave. And so when it came time to wash dishes, it wasn't fun. And so we were doing that, and I know that my wife was certainly put out with it, and I was, but she never said a word. And so I had a lot on my mind, and I had a lot on my mind about my son, because he's my baby boy. How else should I feel? Yeah, he's 46 years old, but he's still my baby boy. He's lived right there by me his whole life. He's never went away from me. And he and I were buds. And I had all this stuff on my mind. And I was in Lowe's, and I was trying to hurry, and I was very frustrated. You ever been frustrated? I know most people think, well, if you're a preacher, you should never get that way. Well, I was certainly frustrated. I wasn't in a good mood. That's wrong. But I had allowed myself to get in that state. So I'm walking through Lowe's, praying, asking God to help me. Help me not to think like I'm thinking and not to be angry. Now, you know, I've been going through this, and I was praying for God to help me with that. And I came around the corner, and it dawned on me that that woman was going to be there. And she was kind of depressing to look at. I told you I was going to be transparent. I hope you still like me. And when I got to where I could see around the checkout aisle, sure enough, there she was. And to myself, I said, I don't want to face that woman today. I don't want to listen to her little high-pitched voice. So I'm going to go to another checkout lane. Well, the next one was too busy, so I went down to the self-checkout. When I got to the self-checkout, it wouldn't take my card. So I thought, well, I'll go back. Maybe the lane next to her will be open, and it was. There was only one lady there. And I got in there, and this woman had the credit card from hell. And they were going at it, her and the man checking her out. So I just stood there. I thought, well, I'll just wait it out. So I stood there. I wouldn't even look over at that little woman. And all at once, I heard this high-pitched voice. I can help you over here. And I thought, God, I should be ashamed of myself. I didn't even want to look at her, so I turned around. I didn't answer. I didn't respond. Aren't you ashamed of me? I am. I'm ashamed of me. I allowed all of my problems to stack up on me. This is rare. I don't do that. But it caught up with me. So I walked over where she was, and I started getting my stuff and setting it up there. And the first words out of her mouth was, could you lift that box and turn it over? I said, yes, ma'am, I can do it. And I did it. I set it back down. And I waited. And then her little high-pitched voice, she said, how is your son? And I said, excuse me? She said, how is your son? And I said, my son needs the help of God. How does she know about my son? And she said, I remembered you in here one day. And she said, I wanted to know how he was because I have not been, I haven't missed a day praying for your son. With her little drawn up hands. She said, would you write his name down and give it to me? Because I want to take it to church with me Sunday. And I want to have the whole church pray for your son. I wrote it down and gave it to her. I didn't even talk to her. I got my stuff. I walked out into the parking lot at Lowe's, middle of the afternoon. And I'm pushing my buggy and I stopped in the middle of the parking lot. And I hung my head down and I heaved. I sobbed. I said, God, I'm so sorry. The one person in all of Lowe's that I needed to talk to was the one I was trying to get away from. How many times have we allowed our attitudes and our ideas and our ideologies to pull us completely away from God? I got an email from her about 3 days ago. She said, dear pastor, this is Sandy. I just wanted you to know that I took your son's name to church and everybody prayed for your son. And I want you to know that you are not alone. We are with you and we will stand with you and God will do the work. And she signed it, Sandy, your Lowe's cashier. Can I tell you, Sandy is my cashier at Lowe's. And I don't deserve her friendship. I don't deserve her prayers. But while I was feeling sorry for Mike, while I was wanting God to give Mike blessings and bless me, God, Sandy was blessing the Lord with all of her soul. And as she blessed him, through that blessing, she was blessing others. Sir, I don't know who you are, but you right there. But from here, you look like my son's twin. Maybe that's a sign for me. But I'm glad you're here tonight. I don't even know who you are. I don't want to get my priorities messed up and allow my own inadequacies and shortcomings to dictate where I'm going. Because the next step that I make, the next step that you make out of this building tonight, the next step you take is going to decide your future. And I can assure you that the Holy Spirit of God is here in this building tonight. We're relatively quiet, but He is here. Is there anybody here tonight that has cancer? Anybody? Is there anybody here tonight? I'm asking you to be honest. I was certainly honest a moment ago. I'm not proud of that story. I'm ashamed of it. I tell you, it took me 2 or 3 days before I even liked me anymore. Is there anybody here that even suspects you have cancer? Anyone? Is there anybody here that's had fear of cancer? Come on, raise your hands up. Get them up high. Look at all the hands that go up. Come on, raise your hand up. Keep it up. I want you to keep it up. I've been standing here all this long, and I'm older than he is. So if I can stand here this long, you can raise your hand. Be honest with yourself. You suspect, you fear, you've thought about it. You've that ache, that pain, that symptom. You felt like maybe that could very well. You may have went and looked it up on the internet. What a mistake that is. I'd like forever, get your hand back up, sister. I'm not done. I want every one of you that lifted your hand, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'd like for you, if that fear has bothered you, it's dogged you, could you make your way down here to the front with me? You know why? Because fear has torment. but the absolute perfect love of God cast out fear. Just stay right there if you would. How about diabetes? Anybody here have diabetes? You diabetics, would you come? In fact, I want every one of you, if you would. Brother Schumacher, is it all right if I do this? I hope that it is. I want to form a little line here. We're going to form a line. The diabetics. There are others here. There's another thing, and Courtney, I don't mean to personalize you, but this idea that's sweeping through the church of all these people with autoimmune diseases, that should not be. That should not be. We're afraid of having heart attacks. How many heart patients are there in here? Would you just come up here and form a line, if you don't mind, over here. Just everybody get over here as close as you can. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. I have been praying. I just started this a while back. And I said, God, I'm grieved that I hear about all these diseases. I'm tired of hearing about metformin. I'm tired of hearing about insulin. I'm tired of hearing about steroids. I'm tired of hearing about cancer drugs, chemo. 97% of chemo fails. They have a 3% success rate. No wonder they say that the treatment's worse than the disease. And here we are, part of the Church of Jesus Christ, to where he said, I'm going to give you power. So I started praying, Brother Schumacher. And I'm going to tell you what I prayed. You have fear, sister, do you? Fear of a disease that you shouldn't have to have. God didn't want you. He didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. That's what God gave you. He gave that to you. You have that right here tonight. You're a member of this church? You're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the most precious, wonderful name that ever fell off of a human's tongue. You've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have a power that goes beyond this world. It goes beyond this world. It goes into another dimension. I started praying. It's not a selfish prayer, because I think I prayed for the right reasons. I prayed and said, God, I'm asking you to give me dominion over disease and sickness. Sister Schumacher, I can say to you that I met you almost 11 years ago. I didn't know you. Didn't know you from Adam. But in 11 years, I have grown to appreciate you more than I can tell you. And I can tell you that I love you. And I mean that in a Christian manner. You know what I mean. I don't ever want you to have to get up and leave church again because you're having trouble with your heart. I don't ever want that to happen. For 8 or 9 weeks now, I've been struggling with the hearing in this ear. God loves us. Dear God, is that hard to understand? He loves us. All of this that he did it because he loved us. You shouldn't have to sit at home and be afraid of cancer. She shouldn't have to do that. What are we going to do about our future? What are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with that? And so much of our time is consumed by fear. Why don't we take that fear? And the time we're given to fear, let's give it to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. The God who forgives our iniquities, the God who heals all of our diseases, the God who takes care of our family, the God who promised us he would never leave us nor forsake us, the God who does not tease us, Brother Schumacher, but a God who loves us and wants us to have the best he has to offer. He does not want us to be second-rate citizens. He wants us to be first class. other sicknesses that are in here. Anybody in here, you've been diagnosed with a disease, any kind of disease. Would you come? Would you join these folks over here? Anyone else? You've been diagnosed with a disease. Anybody here got the symptoms of a disease? Would you come? Brother Schumacher, I will yield to you as pastor as to how we do this, but I want to pray for these people. You can call up who you'd like to help us. I brought my brothers with me tonight. Do you mind if I have him come up? He's a man of faith and a man of prayer. Brother Eastwood, if you would come up here and help us, we're going to pray for these people. You that have nothing to worry about, everything's going well. Right now, we need you desperately bad. We need you. We need you to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge. We need you to pray for nothing else but these people right here. I'd like to call down the gifts of the Spirit. I'd like for the gifts to fall on some of you in the audience. I was in a church just a few weeks ago, and we were having a prayer for people. And a guy got up and walked across the floor, was going to the other side of the church, and he walked by a man that was paralyzed and just brushed him on the shoulder to say hello and kept going. He didn't pray for him, but when he touched him, God instantly healed him, and the paralytic was healed instantly. Shadows can fall on people. I want that to start here tonight. I'd like for this to be the headwaters of something colossal out of our understanding. Let tonight in this church right here be the headwaters of something wonderful. I'm tired of you being afraid, darling. I am. I mean that. I can tell you that I prayed for you 10 times a day, every day for nearly a year. Now I haven't missed a day. I won't quit. I'm going to keep on. I'm not doubting God. I believe God. God's going to do the work. He's going to do the work. I'm not going to quit because God's not going to quit. I'm not going to doubt him. I'm not going to give up on him. In the name of Jesus. 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 Are you still going to the jail? You need the power of the Holy Ghost to work so deep in you that prisoners can be healed while they're in prison. Cancer does not rule us. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. We rule cancer. Heal here tonight, Jesus. Heal here tonight, Jesus. Heal here tonight, God. Heal here tonight, God. Heal here tonight, God. Heal here tonight, God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Heal, God. Heal these people, Lord. Heal these people, God. Rebuke the spirit of fear and doubt. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, there's none like you in all the earth. You haven't changed.